I have 1 hour and a half. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, church, are we ready? Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, like always, thank you for another time to be here all together. Thank you for the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the blessing of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. Thank you for the life that you're permitting us to have right now at this moment. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, Lord, to be you speaking to the church, not me. Please get me out of the equation and be you, please, speaking to the church. Holy Spirit, you touch the hearts. Be you talking like you always also talk to me, and continue blessing us with the scripture, which is going to be the one that is going to give us the growth that we need to be in more relationship with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray amen and amen. Amen. Okay, please, don't blame me about what I'm going to say now. Okay, this is something that I heard. I'm going to share with you guys. If you guys don't feel related to that, that's fine. I'm going to take it just between me and Jeanette, okay? According to the Bible, in Revelation 8:1, it says that we men, we're going to be in heaven 30 minutes before women. No? Okay. Revelation 8:1, it says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. You like that one? I'm going home with Jeanette today. I love you. I'm just joking. I heard that a while ago, so I just want to share with you guys. That's not true. We love you, woman. Hallelujah. Okay. So today we're going to continue talking about the hearts. So I believe today is going to be the last one. And then we will enter into a new topics. But today is a really nice topic that God put in our hearts that we want to share with you. And I hope that is going to create the blessing that is always creating, because it's His word, it's not mine. And it is amazing. So going back, like always, from the first one, we talk about a heart that believes, a heart condition. It was the second one, God's heart. And then last weekend, we talk about the circumcision. So today, we're going to talk about contrite. According to the Bible, it's talking about contrite hearts, right? So we go into the scripture, and we like to go over all that and get to the point of why David expressed that, and what is the meaning of having a contrite heart? Because according to the Bible, that's also a heart that God will not reject, that He's looking for that heart. So in order to look into that, we have to go to Psalm 51. Let's go to Psalm 51. This is the story, and you guys know about David committing adultery with Bathsheba. And also he committed lie, adultery, assassination, murder. He didn't do it, like, he personally, but he had the intention, and he orchestrated everything in order to that to happen in that moment. So, and don't forget, he was a man after God's heart. But we want to share some stuff over here that I hope it's going to open our eyes to continue building that relationship with God. Okay, verse number 1, Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Whiter, thank you. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. O God, you who are God my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous. In burnt offering, offer whole, then bulls will be offering you altar. Amen. So this is the scripture, this is the psalm that David wrote based on his experience after committing all those stuff, right? All those things. Now, this moment is happening when Nathan, the prophet, came and talked to him. We're talking about this in 2 Samuel chapter 12. We will see that over there. We will see every scripture that Nathan was talking. Nathan, when he came over there, after he committed all those bad things, Nathan came with a story so that way he can open the eyes of David. And the story, it was about a traveler that came to visit this rich man. And the rich man, which he have a lot of cattle and animals and everything, he have a lot of stuff. And then he have a representation of another man, which is a poor man. This poor man just have one. He didn't have many cattle, so he have one. He took care of that one. He was also considered as a daughter. Like, he was taking care really deep on that animal. Okay? And then the Bible, it says that when David heard the story that this rich man took that only cattle that person, the poor person have, and give it to the traveler, leaving that man without the last thing that he have, he say, oh, that man deserved to be dead. That man don't deserve anything. That's the right judgment. And according to the story in 2 Samuel, verse 7, it says, that man is you, David. And I want to go there because I want to go through the scripture, just making sure that we're not missing anything. 2 Samuel 7 says, then Nathan says to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you master's house to you, and your master wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Let's stop over there. Pay attention to that. Let's number 7, it says, I anointed you. I gave you. I deliver you. God is the one giving you everything. Hallelujah. And that's the part that sometimes we're missing from our heart. That when we see those the kingdom and everything, all the blessings, then we kind of separate a little bit of God because we think that is on with our own strength. But pay attention, because it says, Nathan says that God is talking, the Lord, the God of Israel says, I anointing you. I deliver you. Don't forget, is God the master one? The Lord is the one that is giving to us. It's not us. It's not anyone else. It's not my boss giving me money or something like that. When your heart is understanding that it's God, that you're living for Him, He's the one providing you everything. He's the one moving and orchestrating everything. When you have that heart, everything will change. And then you will not commit that sin. So don't forget, the Lord is saying, I declare, I give you, I deliver you, I provide you. The Lord is saying that to David. So with some reason, Nathan was mentioned that. It means that David was getting out of his sight of, whoa, wait a second. I'm getting out of my sight right now. I'm thinking that I'm controlling this or all this power and everything out of my heart. I'm taking God out of my heart. I'm taking God out of that. He's my provider. He's the one giving me everything. He's the purpose of everything. Don't forget, David, I am the one giving you everything. That's what it says over there. Now, take a look at the last statement on verse 8. It says, and if all this had been too little, I will have given you even more. Sometimes, right, we think like, maybe we, yes, in our hearts we think like, oh, I need more. Because we want more stuff, right? But maybe, I'm not saying it is in your case, but maybe what you have right now at this moment is because God knows that you are capable to manage that. So right now you are not getting more because maybe we are not capable to receive the more yet. Does that make sense? God is saying here, if all this had been too little, He knows more than you and me. So He knows that if what you have is little for your capacity, He will give you more. Because you have more capacity to handle, more capacity to manage. So what God is telling you here, He says, hey, you have everything. You have women, you have everything. You have the kingdom, you have power, you have everything. Don't look for more stuff in your own strength. Because what you have, I provide it to you. I give it to you because I know you can manage that, you can handle that. Don't get out of that. Don't go and look for other stuff. And that's what happened here in verse 9, continuation says, why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in His eyes? You struck down Uriah, the Hittite, with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house. Consequences. A man after God's heart. Deviate from that because he might be thinking, this is not enough. I need one more woman. What? You have everything. God knows what you need. What you have is what God knows what you need. Maybe later you will get more so that way we can continue growing. But right now at this moment, we have to be grateful of what we have. According to what it says over here, it says, now therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despise me. This is God talking. And took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. Everyone will see it. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this, you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die. Difficult. Hard for our mind to understand that, I know. According to those times, one possible situation over here, why God is managing this way, because sometimes we can see this like it's not the right judgment, right? In our own knowledge or capacity, we say, that's not the right, but that's God. We cannot debate against that. But according the people that learn, study more in history and everything, those times, if God killed David and not the kid, then he will be against a rule that it was established by that time. Then God will be in a different spot or a different position over there. Another supposition of that, it is that God have some plans for David. And then killing the boy, it will be more difficult for him than killing himself. It will be more painful for the consequences of making that decision. So there's just those two point of view according to the history of what happened in that time. So when we learn about all these experience, we will have to go back and learn from Psalm 51 what David put over there. And from there, I want to share with you guys 4 points really quick, four principles, okay? Let's start with the first one. The first one is going to be towards God. So we are turning to God. We are turning to God. So David, in that moment, he understood that he sinned against God, not against himself, not against Israel, not against his people, not against Bathsheba, not against anyone. He understood that God was talking through Nathan and say, hey, you sinned. You did this stuff. You despise God because you want to take over your own stuff. You think you don't have enough. You forgot that God is the one that is providing you. You forgot that you removed God out of the first place in your life. Like we were talking yesterday, and also Chris Hanlon mentioned the love. According to Revelation, we have to be careful because according to the Bible, we cannot let go the first love. That first love, we have to continue being in us, in the church. That first love, which is amazing, never let it go. That's beautiful. That first love with God, don't let it go. That's amazing. So that's what David experienced in his life. He let go that love from God, the first love, because he decided to take over and then remove God out of the picture, and now I'm the king here. I'm controlling everything. But there's a good revelation that I want to share with you guys later that God expressed over here in 1 Samuel 11. So when we continue, what happened over here, it was that David turning to God now. He understands that he sinned against God. And that's the first thing. We have to recognize that when we're seeing, the sin is against God. It's not against anyone else. It's not against my brothers and sister or anyone externally. It's always against God because you are from God. You are a creation of Him. Your heart is supposed to be with God. And now when you decide to sin and separate from God, your sin is against Him because you are the creation of Him. We have to recognize that. Recognition of the sin that is to him, not to anyone else, is the first step to turning to God. It's the first thing that we have to recognize in our life. That's why David started mentioning in verse 1, have mercy of me. I'm turning to God, saying, have mercy of me. I know your mercy. I know your love. I know everything that you're doing because I experienced it before this event. And now I'm feeling that I'm separated of you. And I'm looking to get to that point again. That's why he said, I'm turning to God, asking him, have mercy of me. The Lord, and the Lord compassionate and gracious to us. When you show him the mercy, asking him for the mercy of God. The second point that I want to share with you guys is going to be cleaning. David is asking for cleaning. Now he's feeling dirty. He's feeling like those sins is creating something bad in him, in his thoughts, in his mind. That's why he starts saying, wash me completely from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Because when you sin, the sin is always in front of you, accusing you. That's the purpose of the enemy. The enemy always wants to accuse you, always want to point out things, remembering you all those sins that happened in your life, because that will create the separation of God. That will remove your sight out of God. That's why David asked the Lord, clean me, purify me. And how you get clean right now with the new covenant? With the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why when he asked the Lord, clean me with your hyssop, like this priest in the old times, they get the blood and they clean. The same tool that they use it to put the blood on the dintel, on the doors, okay, on the corners of the doors. So the same concept. He was asking God, clean me, purify me, clean my heart. Remove everything from there, because right now I'm feeling this every single day. It's accusing me. It's stopping me. It's removing me to see you. The third point that I want to share is going to be confession. He confessed the seriousness of this sin. He confessed saying to get out of that sin, confessing, for I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is always before me, always in front of you. The tape keeps running and running and running. We cannot stop it. But when you confess, you and God, confess you with God, he will remove that out of your sight, out of your life. He will help you because the enemy will be manifesting over there in that moment. But you have to open your heart and confess. Also, David vindicates God, not himself. There is no self-justification. There is no defense. There is no escape. So that you are just when you speak and without reproaching when you judge. God is justified. God is blameless. If God sent David to hell, God will be innocent. He said that the immense sinfulness of his sin is that it's only against God. And Nathan has said that to David because David despised God of his life with his actions. You and I, we are here. We are Christian. We love God. We love Jesus Christ. We love the Holy Spirit. We're living this life. But we get exposed to these things. I want to share, because people, sometimes we think this sexual immorality that happened over here, sometimes we think it's a disease, but it's not a disease. It is a symptom. It is a symptom. David, according to the Bible, in 1 Samuel 11:2, what it says? One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. All here, right? All in the world. I'm just looking just before I say something. Okay. Right now, I'm going to share with you guys some data because this is something really, really that is happening in the world right now and also in church, in people in church. We know we're living in this flesh. One of the stronger sins is going to be the sexual immorality or sexual life, okay? which is going to be correlated with pornography. Okay? So I want to share with you guys really quick. This is a data from two ladies, Samantha Smead and Jamie Lesueur. They say here that here in just United States, 58% of the American, of the population right now here, one out of three, they watch porn. Okay? Inside of that 58%, 70% is men, 30% is women. I don't know if those numbers are scaring you, but for me, it's scary. 1953, 54,000 people copies and got the Playboy stuff. Pornhub, right now, 2019 until now, visitors visit per minute 80,000 people. You can see that increment. Because right now we have those phones, we have the websites, we have all that electronically, and sometimes you can see over stuff over there. And I'm putting this together here because David, he don't have a digital phone, right? He don't have a website. But he was walking on the roof of the palace. And when he was just walking, he saw that woman taking a bath. Pretty much the same concept that you and me get exposed when we are just browsing the website. True or false? Right? And then, boop. According to Joseph in the Bible, when he got that exposure in Genesis, what he did? He ran. He ran for his life because he knew already. David didn't run. He just stayed with the temptation. That's the purpose of the enemy. The enemy is tempting us every single time. He's going to keep doing it every single day. But it's depending where is our heart. If our hearts are with God and you put God first of everything, I know you will start running when you see those moments in your life. It's not just the sexual temptation. You can get any temptation in your life, but that moment is the moment that you need to start running. Because if you stay, you're living in this flesh is weak. And this flesh will continue trying to convince you to get to that temptation. And that's what happened with him over here. The last data that I want to share with you guys, which is, I'm related with that because I have my daughter, I have my son. It is among teenagers, 62 of girls are exposed to this internet porn. 93% of the boys. 93. For me, that's crazy. We are exposed to that. And we cannot maybe remove that exposure because it's over there. It is in the phone. It is in the website. It might be, I don't know, in a movie. It might be anywhere. And I don't know, in a magazine. Everywhere. The thing is, how is our heart? Because at the end, it's going to be my responsibility to make the decision if I follow that temptation or not. I will get that exposure in everyone here. So it's over there. So let me work with what I can control. And what I can control is loving God. That's what I can control. I cannot control what I'm going to get exposed with the enemy. The enemy will do the job. What is my job? Love God. Please help me. Jesus Christ, I love you. I accept you as my Savior. Holy Spirit, keep continue bringing me love in my heart. Love and continue despising all this stuff from the enemy. All the temptation. Running right away. Not giving the opportunity of seconds or 2, 1, 3 seconds of looking and let's look nice and let me go through that temptation. Nothing is going to happen. And then you see the consequences from David. The sword was not removed from his house. After that, you guys know the story, what happened to his house, to his family. He couldn't build the temple. Solomon, his son, he was the one that built the temple, but David couldn't build the temple of God. Do you know, being after God's heart that you want to build the temple. You have the Ark of the Covenant. You're ready. You're excited because you love God. But because you decide to go to temptation, now you are cut off that purpose of God in your life. Now you're living with the consequences. God forbid you for that sin. Remove the sin. Clean you. Purify you. He will continue doing the work in you. But now there's some things in your life that is not going to happen. Because he couldn't build the temple. He couldn't do other stuff because of that, according to the Bible. We have a purpose of God. Our only responsibility that we can control is loving him, giving him the first place always. He's the one, not anyone else. He's the one. He's the one opening the doors, closing the doors. He's the one. We just need to follow it. We just need to believe and have faith in him. And he will help us to overcome those temptations. Number four that I want to share with you guys, because we feel that crush from the guiltiness. The last one that I want to share with you guys, the number four, is going to be renewal. He prays to God to confirm his choice. Verse 11 of 51, Psalm 51, it says, "Do not cast me out of your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." I know that some say that Christians who are chosen and secure in the sovereign grace of God should not pray like this, because it will mean that they could lose their salvation. But losing that presence of God in your life? Oh my goodness, it's everything, I think so. I didn't experience it since 2005 that I accept Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. I'm not perfect, but I do, so far, knocking wood, I didn't feel that separation of presence of God in my life. So I want to keep that, because I experienced not having God in my life before that, which I can compare and say, I don't want to let this go. I want to keep God in my heart. It's a huge difference. Having God in your life, in your family, in the brothers and sisters, it's amazing. It's really enjoyable. I don't want to let go of that presence of God in my life. He felt that. He felt that. And that's why he was asking God, don't let your presence or your salvation live in my house, my life. He felt that separation. So he was asking God, renew my heart, clean my heart, purify it. Help me. Now, when you go and try to find out the definition of that word, contrite, in Hebrew, that word means crush. It means, like, I work in pharmaceutical companies, and I use a machine called milling or miller machine, where you put a big granules and crush them, grind them, and put it in a small particle size. Okay? It's the same concept. That's a contrite heart. A contrite heart, it means like your heart is grinding. You're feeling that. And when you are doing that after the sin, after the separation of God, after we are making the wrong decision and removing God, and we understand, oh, God, I want to renew my heart. I want to clean my heart. I want you to purify me. I want you to clean me. I want to continue feeling that salvation, that relationship with you, that crush, that moment, that grinding, that's what it meant. It meant, I need you. I cannot handle this. If I keep the same concept of that grinding, it means that you are putting the big matter or granules into the small. It means you think you are big now. Because when you remove God out of your life, in your own strength, in your own believing, you think that you are big. You, not him. And God is telling you, small. when you bring that that heart to God, small heart, say, I'm a small here. I'm just your follower. I'm just loving you. So my heart is small. Like understanding you are in control. You are the big one here. I love you. I worship you. When you're doing that, that's contrite heart. And according to the Bible, God will not despise that. In Psalm 51, when David says, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise." So in other words, he put the word sacrifice over there. Because in the Old Testament, as you know, the sacrifice, it get up to heaven as a good smell to God, according to the Bible. So when you put your heart small in front of him and him big over you, it's like a smell, a good smell to God in his throne. Aroma. Beautiful. Because he's putting himself small and believing that I am the one here. I'm taking over. I'm going to clean you. I'm going to purify you. That's what God wants from us. That heart. A contrite heart. Hallelujah. When we believe in these things and we start changing, I know God will continue blessing us, for sure. 100%. There's no doubt of that. If you go also to the story about Peter, when he neglected Jesus Christ 3 times, right? And God prophesied that beforehand. According to the Bible, Matthew 26:75, it says that Peter went out and started crying. And that's a contrite heart. Because God give you a word. And according to Nathan, he say, you despise God's word. Trust in that word that God gave you. Don't go against that. And he will bless you. He will continue blessing you. This is the blessing that I want to share with you guys. Because I was asking God, there's something else. Because he says, you despise God's word. But what was the word of God in David? We have the law. We have the Ten Commandments. We're talking about Old Testament. We have so many things that we can use as a reference. Prophecies, God talked to him. Let's go to 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 11, verse 1. David was a man of war. Sorry, my bad. I was reading my comment. I thought I put the scripture over here, but I didn't. Sorry. Let me go and get it really quick. Or it's over here, right? No? Okay, sorry. First one, 2 Samuel 11, 1. In the spring, today's a spring day, right? Starting today. Are you guys good with the time? In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, specific, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelites army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. In the times when the kings go to war, to battle, King David, David is a king, he stayed at home. You're supposed to be at war right now. You're supposed to be in the battle. Not at home. Maybe that will save you. This is not an excuse or justification for David. The last moment when he was on the roof, that was the last moment that he can decide no. But the word of God is that when he get anointed, he said he's a man of war. You're not a man to be at home. You're supposed to be in the battle with your team, with your people. Fight against your people. The enemy's always there. We're going to keep fighting against him. Keep battling. That's our responsibility. Don't stay home. Don't settle down. Let's continue. When the time of kings go to battle, David stayed at home. He's supposed to be with them and fight. Stayed at home. Get exposed. Temptation is always there. Move. Let's move. Let's move. Let's move. Let's battle. Let's continue fighting each other. That's you and I. Our responsibility. Let's continue. Let's fight the enemy. Like we shared yesterday in the men's breakfast, unity. Let's continue working. Let's continue get united. Let's continue loving each other. I promise you, we're going to see God's glory over here. That's our responsibility. That's our fight. Let's continue. Let's battle. This is the time that kings, you and I, go to battle. Amen. Thank you, God. We worship you. We praise you. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you're doing. We declare your glory, your blessing. We declare the Holy Spirit in our life continue helping us. Hallelujah. Father, forgive us. If we sin, forgive us, please. In the name of Jesus Christ, clean, purify our hearts. Continue helping us to be like Jesus Christ. Continue helping us to defeat the enemy temptations in our life. We declare your glory. We put you first in our life. And we're going to continue doing the best to keep you as number one in our life. And we trust in you. We trust in your love that you're going to continue helping us to overcome those temptations and everything that we are getting exposed. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare your glory over everyone here, over their families, over everyone that is in their exposure, like co-workers, family members, neighbors, everyone. Thank you, God, for your blessing. Thank you for the continuation of building the unity and love in this church, because we trust that you're going to do something amazing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.